I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. You're listening to music by Alan Alexander III, created for Homeless the Musical, presented by the Dub Squad. It's premiering January 27th through the 29th at the Clinton Street Theater. That's one of the many original shows featured in Portland's largest citywide performing arts festival, the Fertile Ground Festival. It returns for its ninth year. We'll hear from festival director Nicole Lane about the new works included this year. We'll also feature three of the shows premiering at the Fertile Ground Festival. We'll find out what it takes to create meaningful original works. Stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. We're going to hear more of Remain in Light from Homeless the Musical.
So my heart will remain in light.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the studio are festival director of Fertile Ground, Nicole Lane.
Hi, Dee Mae.
Hello, welcome back. And with her are Damaris Webb. Hello.
Hello.
From the play Left Hook. And we also have playwright Bonnie Ratner premiering her play Blind. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Dee Mae.
And to round this all up, we have playwright Emilio Rodriguez, who has written a play about Benjamin Linder called El Payaso. It's premiering at Milagro Theater. So welcome all to Stage and Studio. It's great to have you here.
You.
It's a big, big time coming up, huh? It's a full house, and we're going to talk about the Fertile Ground Festival because it's brimming with great offerings during January 19th through the 29th. Nicole, is it true there are more than 100 new works premiering at Fertile Ground Festival?
Yeah, it's hard to explain because the way that the festival works is a producer will produce an event, but within that event, there could be many of what I call acts of creation. So there are easily over 100 acts of creation happening throughout the Fertile Ground Festival.
And they range in disciplines, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Everything from fully produced theater pieces to readings to staged readings to dance. Groovin' Greenhouse at Polaris, they're doing that again this year. Then there are a couple of different performance-based like Dell'Arte type shows going on.
Well, there's comedy. There's also multimedia kind of projects.
Yes, there's an animation festival in this year's festival again, and so it's a huge range of all different kinds of disciplines, even within disciplines. So.
Yeah, and it's a time to experiment, isn't it? And to try out different things and new things and infuse a lot of disciplines, too.
Yeah, and it's a time for the artists to be able to do that. But I look at it as also an opportunity for our audiences, for the people of Portland, to not just keep going to the same theater that they always go to or the same type of work that they typically go to.
The same type of dance or the same type
of multimedia. Right, and it's a time to, I call it, get out and have a creative adventure.
There you go, creative adventure. You know, right now I recommend listeners to follow along by visiting your site and look at the calendar. That's calendar listing. It's just so full of different opportunities to see new work. And that website is fertilegroundpdx.org, or you can visit stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, and you can get a link to the Fertile Ground site. And as with all indie art, Fertile Ground is a bit of a labor of love for you, isn't it? I mean, you always say that. Yeah, I do this for
free. It's absolutely a labor of love.
What keeps you wanting to, you know, to present this? Because I know you start on the ground. As soon as this is over, you're going to start doing it again.
Well,
you know?
I actually do give myself a little break.
A little break.
But you know, it really it is the joy and the appreciation and the being able to see so many different artists present what they want to do, and having this festival uncurated, where there's not a panel of judges assessing whether or not this is ready to be seen by the public. Instead, it's artists driven, and I really like that idea of empowering artists and getting them audiences that they may not have had. So I think it's a labor of love, but it's not just me. There are other people. The Portland Area Theater Alliance is a huge support. They, in fact, Fertile Ground is a program of PATA, and Dre Slayman, who's the president of the board, Lord helps me a great deal, as does Abby Christopher, who does all of our social media, and Gary Corbin with festival passes.
I mean, I'm so glad you
have lots.
Help.
There's lots. There is a
there
team.
There was a time,
of
though, wasn't such a huge team. So
right.
I remember. I remember your humble beginnings. What's the biggest success story for Fertile Ground?
Oh heavens, I could not even begin to answer that question.
Really?
I really
that's
couldn't.
That's gone on to another production.
There have been many that have gone onto other productions. None of them have gone to Broadway or something like that. And I really don't think that that's what this festival is about either. And so I tend to not put a lot of focus on that. There's been several playwrights who have done very well after a Fertile Ground presentation. But, you know, who knows if Fertile Ground was helpful in that. I'd like to think that it was. But I really think it's about giving the voice to artists who have something to say.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those artists that have been with Fertile Ground for a while. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're featuring the Fertile Ground Festival. Find out more at fertilegroundpdx.org. And the links are at stageandstudio.org, kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Damaris Webb, you were nodding your head quite a bit when Nicole was saying that it's helped artists and plays to go on to full productions. And I know that with Vanport Mosaic, that has been true. And you're doing another play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about it. It's called The Left Hook.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And first, before I talk a little bit about Left Hook, I just want to say thank you for creating Fertile Ground. And I think the opportunity for artists to come together and, you know, that cross-pollination, even for just the artists recognizing the fact that there is so much work happening, is really supportive and exciting. So thank you. Left Hook is a new play by Rich Rubin, a playwright that I've collaborated now with. This is the second piece. He was also the playwright of Cottonwood in the Flood, which had its first readings during the Fertile Ground in 2015, and then later went on for a full production. So we're pleased with that.
Well, the other play dealt with the flood. This play deals with albina,
right,
the history
so
of albina.
I kind of think of it as the chapter after the African-American population in Portland was washed out of Vanport into Portland. I mean, that community then experienced being uprooted again with the expansion or the building of the Coliseum and the freeways. And now this chapter looks in the 70s in Albina, when the community is being displaced again due to the aborted Emmanuel Hospital expansion. And it also touches on African Americans who are returning from service in Vietnam, as well as the very healthy Black Panther movement that was here in Portland at the time, and the world famous boxing community.
Wow, I didn't know there was a world famous boxing community here. That's brand new news to me.
Yes,
regarding
the
Portland
Knott
history.
Street Boxing Gym is
really?
The real place, but this is a a fictional account based on, the story of Left Hook condenses about a decade of information.
Wow. Wow. Well, I don't recall any other place dealing with this history in Portland.
Mm.
Do you recall anything?
I don't.
Because you're
recall.
A Portlander.
I am a Portlander, but that doesn't mean I know everything. and I, too.
But I think if it was dealing with this history, you probably might have heard about it.
I would like to think so, but it's always a surprise to know all of the rich work that the things that are existing out there. So.
Well, that sounds like an important slice of history, that's being brought out. The Left Hook by Rich Rubin, directed by Damaris Webb, produced by the Vanport Mosaic. Do you not say Vanport Mosaic Festival anymore, just Vanport Mosaic?
Well, the Vanport Mosaic now has year-round programming. Our main event is the festival.
Excellent.
Which will be the end of May.
I'm glad I asked that. It's part of the 2017 Fertile Ground Festival. There are four performances, Friday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, January 21st at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, January 22nd at 2 p.m. And all shows are at the IFCC. Yay! The Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. Keeping that alive, man. I'm so glad you're doing it. That's located at 5340. It's 5340, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. And find out more at fertilegroundpdx.org. Bonnie Ratner, hey.
Hi.
Come on up to the mic. You've written a new play. It's called Blind, and I understand you have a personal connection to this play. It's set in the 60s in New York City. Tell me more.
Well, it actually is set in the mid-60s, and it is set more specifically in two locations in New York. One is Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, and the other is Oceanside, Long Island. And it is the journey of Harold Stein. His journey happens on many layers, but most concretely, 6 days a week. He rides the Long Island Railroad into New York City and the subway into Bedford-Stuyvesant, where he owns a woman's shoe store. And he brings his lunch, he makes coffee in the store, he opens the door to his store, and he locks himself inside because it's 1967-68, and most of the merchants in the neighborhood, most of whom are Jewish, operate their store behind a locked door. And in addition to that, they don't let African men or boys in by themselves. So
describe the times for people who may not know about Bedford-Stuyvesant and what was going on at
that time. Was going on was there were riots in 67. Philosophically, in terms of the movement, there was an ongoing debate between the philosophies of Malcolm X, Black nationalist, separatist, and then Martin Luther King's beloved community, which was more about integration. And it's also a play about two families. And Stein has a wife on Long Island who has her own demons and a grown daughter who's returning home because she has a failed marriage, an abusive marriage. And then the family of Millie True in the city. She's a high school teacher, a community activist. She has an ex-husband. They have a son, both of whom are Black nationalists.
A lot of important history being told through these personal stories.
Right.
You have dealt with relationships between cultural communities in your plays before.
Yeah.
Is this sort of the intersection of the Jewish community and African-American community?
It is. I mean, I think that there's a long, wonderful, and also flawed history there as well. It's also, you know, there's the intersections of race and class and gender as well happening.
And you grew up in that area?
I did.
Trying to date you at all, you know, as far
I'm
as
dated.
Time.
I'm dated. That's it.
But
I'm an elder.
You told me that you had a personal connection to this.
No, I do, actually. Yeah. The character of Stein is based on my dad. I was coming of age politically in the mid-60s and was absolutely outraged at the true circumstance that my dad was operating his store behind a locked door. And I gave him hell. I gave him what for, you know. And then when he died, I went to work in the store, helping my mother to try to sell it. And the women in the store, who he spent more time with than the people at home, loved him. And told me probably as much about my father as I had ever known.
Oh,
so
wow.
I realized that there was a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're telling that story, and it seems to be pertinent to what, you know, situations that are happening today with trust and distrust. And you're working with Color of Now, which is an organization that has frequent talks about equity and inclusion. You have a talk back.
Right.
What do you hope to bring out with that?
Well, we've had a good conversation. I was talking to Chantal DeGroat, their artistic director, about how to frame the talk back. And we were talking about framing it in terms of oppression and the different intersections of oppression. But what we want to do is to get people talking even amongst themselves in the audience as well.
Important stuff here.
Yeah.
Blind by Bonnie Ratner is directed by Bobby Bermea and produced by Community Dream Productions. Show runs January 28th at 1 p.m. with a post-show discussion with Color of Now. Also January 29th at 7:30 p.m., which is an American Sign Language interpreted performance. Good for you. All performances are at Third Rail Theater at Imago Theater, located at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, just across the street from KBOO. You can find more info at FertileGroundPDX.org. Emilio Rodriguez, hey, you're
Hi.
A first-timer here.
Your
play at Milagro Theater is called El Payaso, and that means clown, right?
Yes.
And the play focuses on the story very dear to many Portlanders' hearts. It's the story of Benjamin Linder, and who he worked as an engineer and as a clown in Clowns Without Borders to help people in Nicaragua in 1987. He was killed by Contras there during a war fueled by the Reagan administration. Well, Emilio, it's 30 years later, And I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, what made you, you know, you're from the new generation, right? Mm-hmm. And so what made you want to write a play about Ben Linder and the works in Nicaragua?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was presented to me as an idea to see if I would be interested in that. And one of the things that really interests me about Ben Linder is at the time I was learning about Dead Aid and non-sustainable projects that a lot of people bring to other countries. What I loved about the work that Ben Linder did was that he empowered the people of Nicaragua to be leaders and to run the hydroelectric power plants and to run all of the things that he set up so that when, even after his death, all of those things are still in place because the people of the community, the people of the village were empowered to be the leaders and to sustain all of that. And so that really inspired me. And when we kind of added a contemporary element to the play about somebody in college learning about the work of Ben Linder. And so really learning about his work becomes sort of a call to service, a call to action for himself and for the audience as a whole.
Well, what personally have you been inspired by? You were inspired by the idea, but as you progressed, researched this more, created this play, what inspired you about Ben Linder's story?
Yeah, I think the fact that he was able to merge this love for the science with a love for community and love for the arts. It's sort of this perfect blend of all three things. And I think we're sort of exploring that in the play of how he's kind of, in a sense, three people. And those, he has his art world where he's Benito the Fool. He has his community involvement where people thought so dearly of him, even in Nicaragua. And then also his work as an engineer and being able to implement these hydroelectric power plants. And I think that's something that I really aspire to make sure that at all times I sort of have a wider lens of not just an artist, but how am I involved in the community and how am I bringing in other political issues that I'm interested in.
Did you work with his family at all or contact them, or did Milagro?
Milagro had some discussions with his family. I unfortunately wasn't able to meet with anyone in the family, but some of the people that I've been connected with have had friendships and connections with Ben Linder and with the family as a whole. And actually the host family that Milagro has me staying with, because I'm a Detroiter, actually.
You're from Detroit.
Yes.
You're visiting here, visiting
yes.
artist.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a visiting artist. So the host family that they set me up with actually had worked with Ben Linder's mom, actually, as
wow.
she was translating stuff in the court. So
is he still remembered in Nicaragua?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He still has the memorial. And I think 5 years ago for the 25th anniversary of his death, they had a big event, which you can actually find on YouTube, their whole celebration that they had in the community.
What a legacy.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
A legacy remembered. Milagro presents the world premiere of El Payaso, written by Emilio Rodriguez and directed by Georgina Escobar. The festival dates are January 19th, 20th, 21st at 7:30 p.m. Additional run dates are at Milagro at January 12th, 13th, 14th, and 7:30 at 7:30 p.m. and January 15th at 2 p.m. Now, if you can't remember all that, just go to my website or go to milagro.org. It's at Milagro Theater. That's located at 525 Southeast Stark Street. And for reservations, visit milagro.org. That's M-I-L-A-G-R-O.org, or call 503-236-7253. Visit fertilegroundpdx.org, or you can all check it out at kboo.fm/stageandstudio or stageandstudio.org. I also wanted to ask you, Emilio, you're part of El Fuego. That's an initiative that's chosen 12 playwrights to work in professional theaters across the country. Milagro is one of them.
Yeah. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they discovered us through this festival that the Latino Theater Commons put on called Carnaval. And they're actually doing the play that I wrote for that one as well in February at Milagro.
Oh, okay. So you have two productions back to back here.
Yes.
You are very energetic.
Yes, I'm part of the Milagro family now.
All right. Well, tell us about Carnaval since you're here. What is that about?
Yeah, it was a festival of 8 new plays by Latino playwrights all across the country. And actually, the director of Payaso is also a playwright, and her play was in that as well. So they kind of met both of us through that festival.
Well, what's the next play coming up that you're going to be doing for Milagro?
Swimming While Drowning.
Swimming While Drowning.
Yes,
okay.
And that'll be in February.
Okay, that's what I meant. So, yeah. And what's that about?
That is about two teens in an LGBT homeless shelter, and sort of the obstacles that they face within the shelter, but also the bond that they create and how that
another
impacts
important
them.
Meaningful play. That
Thank
seems
you.
To be the theme yeah. here, right? That's our theme today. And I'm wondering if everyone watched the Meryl Streep's acceptance speech for the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. She quoted mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher. Yeah. Love Carrie Fisher, who told her to take her broken heart and make art. Mm. Do you all connect with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's your stories? What was your reaction to that?
Tears.
Yeah.
It was.
I was crying when Viola Davis was introducing her, and she said something similar, which is, and I'm paraphrasing, art is about making people feel less alone, mm. you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about meaningful art. I mean, we've got like 5 minutes. No, seriously. I mean, I think what all of you are working on, especially Nicole, with, you know, just bringing this festival together, you know, is about putting some meaning into this, isn't it?
Well, I think that's what we do as an artistic community is we make meaning. We bring people together. And no matter what kind of what genre it is or what level of theater it is, that is what theater is about. And performance, whether it's dance, I mean, we're coming together, we're in the same room, having an experience together, and hopefully whatever is being presented to us is something that is a reflection of ourselves and perhaps in the greater community. And certainly all of these shows that we've talked about here today with these guests are like that. And really, I would argue that most theater, at least in Portland, is like that.
I think it can run the gamut, you know. I'd say, for me personally, viewing it from an, you know, from that perspective of a media person, it seems to be half and half to me. Hmm. And the meaningful stuff to me, especially when you're bringing out historic moments. Because, you know, when you say history, I want to do a story yeah. about history. People go, oh, snooze, you know. But you really bring it to life. And there's a double meaning to everything when you personalize it. Do you feel that people remember it better? I don't know, Emilio, do you feel that people remember it better, you know, speaking from, you know, from a younger person's perspective?
Yeah, I hope people remember it better. I think as a writer, I try and focus on what's most meaningful to me. I got advice early on from a writer named Charlene Woodard who said, the more personal it is, the more universal it is. So I try not to as much think about the large scope as much as make it as personal as I can to me. And another great writer once said, write about what hurts. And so I try and write about what hurts and personally to me. And make it so specific that I think people then view it, either relate to it or view it as a metaphor for something else in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Damaris, Bonnie, you want to weigh in?
Oh, I also think that with Vanport Mosaic, our focus being connecting with stories of the Pacific Northwest specifically, so this situation where you're connecting with history, with a place, you know, but the place doesn't mean much to say Albina or even Vanport if you don't understand about the people and the stories that were lived there. And then we start to unpack, right, whose story, who's telling the story, who it's being told to. And to me, those questions, I mean, they can, you know, as Nicole said, come in any level of the artistic process or any media in that there. And to me, that is why I do art, why I make performance. And then the conversations that we can have during and after that about who we are, where we came from, and where we want to go to.
Bonnie?
Yeah, I think also what we're talking about is sort of the idea of character-driven stories against socio-political backdrops. Mm-hmm. And just to really connect the dots in terms of the political or the socio-political climate, I believe that in order to make change, it's an inside-outside kind of job. So when we have the stories that tell personal stories that we can connect to psychologically and emotionally, then it's possible then to then understand, connect, and then do.
When you say make change, what are you hoping for? I personally would like to believe that it makes change, does it?
I think it does.
In what way?
I think that it helps us to connect to people who are different from us mm-hmm. and help us to understand each other better. Mm-hmm. And when it's told as a personal story, then we see ourselves in one another and we recognize ourselves in one another.
And that is what goes back to what Viola Davis said about not feeling less alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, perhaps, then we can like listen to each other, perhaps. Mm-hmm. What a concept, right?
Yeah,
the truth. Instead of talk over each other. Well, you know, there's certainly a ton of plays happening and just arts in general, art events at Fertile Ground. And Nicole, you want to do any last shout outs for any other shows?
I think that would be unfair. There's 47 producers.
47 producers. But there are some themes that, you know, there are some drawn themes to me. Like, there are a couple of plays that are dealing with homeless.
There's a musical.
Which is a huge epidemic right now.
Yeah, there's a musical and there's a play that are dealing with the homeless. There is a play that is stories from McLaren. So these are young people who are incarcerated. Yeah. There are a number of social... social action.
There's a lot of social issue type work that's being presented at Fertile Ground.
And I just want to go back to what we were talking about a moment ago. I think that what the arts allow us to do through all of the stories, and some better than others, is help us find empathy and recognize that our experience is not the only experience. And by being able to sit in a room with other people, have a vicarious emotional connection to the story on stage and the people around us, hopefully in conversation afterward, hopefully that stick with us and something that we learned and we connect to. So in Fertile Ground, you can go out and see a whole bunch of them, and hopefully you'll have sparks of empathy that you'll carry with you so that inside job can make change.
Empathy, feeling less alone, turning heartbreak into art, and also just having that personal connection. These are all good themes. And remembering, right? Remembering what was before so we can figure out what we're doing next. Mm-hmm. So it's been great having this conversation with all of you. Nicole Lane, Damaris Webb, Bonnie Ratner, Emilio Rodriguez, thank you for this lively talk today. And I hope we continue talking. Break legs.
Thank you for all your shows that are coming up.
The 2017 Fertile Ground Festival of New Works, presented by Portland Area Theater Alliance, January 19th through the 29th through Portland. And there are festival passes. I can't mention the price because we don't do that here. But it's January 19th, but you can find out more about that at fertilegroundpdx.org. The dates are the 19th through the 29th throughout Portland. And I'll have all this info plus the show later online today at stageandstudio.org, as well as the podcast on iTunes. Subscribe! Okay. Also, like us on facebook.com/stage the letter in studio and tweet me at stage the letter in studio. That's it for Stage and Studio. We're going to go out with some more music. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. This music is from Fertile Ground's show, Homeless the Musical, presented by the Dub Squad, January 27th through the 29th at the Clinton Street Theater.